With a vision to rebuild, renew, and restore hearts and homes in the urban community, Urban Life Family Media presents Fruitful Living with Chris and Carol Green. Fruitful Living is the podcast outreach of Urban Life Family Center, an inner healing ministry that has been changing lives in South Central Pennsylvania since September of 2004. For the next few minutes, we're going to bring you into our weekly session from the family prayer room, where you can experience the word that is producing fruitful living.
I wanted to share a chapter called Normalcy Bias from the door that we wrote, titled An Open Door. And I'm just going to go ahead and read this, and afterwards I'll pray. But it's, I've been reading things on the internet, comments about things that are going on. I saw one comment on Facebook. I saw the story about a young Muslim girl who gave her life to Jesus, and who was on, and Pat Robinson had her on his show to give her testimony. But she shared how because she's become a Christian after being raised a Muslim, she is under death threat. She has to, her family, she cannot let her family know where she is, because they would kill her. And I was just watching saw some of the responses to the reality of her life, what she has to deal with, and how some people found it. One comment was, there's so much heart ugliness, or and I'm just paraphrasing, in the world. Can't we talk about good stuff that's going on? You know, so, and this is the body of Christ. It helped me to realize there are a lot of people who really don't understand the time and season that we're living in. So I wanted to read this and share this. And pray that God will deal with all of us, the body of Christ, so that we can understand the time and season that we're living in and prepare to be ready for what's ahead. And again, it's titled Normalcy Bias. That phrase, normalcy bias or normality bias, this refers to a mental state people enter when facing a disaster. It causes people to underestimate both the possibility of a disaster occurring and its possible effects. This may result in situations where people fail to adequately prepare for a disaster, and on a larger scale, the failure of governments to include the populace in its disaster preparation plans. And whether we understand that or not, that is going on. This just so happens to describe the government of the United States. As we face the inevitable and impending economic collapse of our country, they are making no plans to protect us. On July 1st of 2014, a new law was launched that will prevent any of us from being able to escape the financial collapse when it happens. And I've had, there was one email that was sent to me, and it was from a Christian, and she was selling gold, you know. And I'm sure it's because she's, you know, we're trying to prepare for this economic collapse, but not really understanding that that's not going to help, that it's already too late. The assumption that people make when they are suffering from normalcy bias is that since a disaster has never occurred, then it will never occur. It can result in the inability of people to cope with a disaster once it occurs. People with a normalcy bias tend to interpret warnings in the most optimistic way possible. And Pastor Chris had shared with that earlier, how we were talking about, since this country, we have never had war on this land. We've been in wars in other countries, that we won't see war here. even though the towers have already been destroyed, and they're going to try and rebuild them again, as though you know nothing happened. We're just going to go on and we're going to build it bigger and better, like as though this was not a warning. In the case of many American Christians, they turn to every positive Bible scripture they can find, or they constantly watch positive messages on Christian TV to try not to think about what is coming. This is because people with normalcy bias have difficulties reacting to something they have not experienced before. And I'm going to add, not only because they haven't experienced before, but they can't face what's coming. It's so horrible and unthinkable to them that they can't deal with it. So they choose to avoid it. They would rather act like they can't see it, can't hear it, or they never talk about it. We realize the opposite of normalcy bias would be overreaction or worst case thinking bias. And a lot of people who hear this will be thinking that that's what we're doing. But no, we are trying to be like the tribe of Issachar to understand the time and season that we are living. We are seeing what's going on. And they can, in this world, it can only lead to a certain conclusion. People who are like this, who follow the worst case thinking bias, or in the worst case thinking bias, people who are like this have a tendency to take every tiny negative thing they see or hear as an impending catastrophe. So we want to bring some balance and truth to you today. For several years, America has been racing toward destruction like a blindfolded race car driver streaking down the track at 200 miles per hour. We have outlawed prayer in our schools. And so we have a rise of people going into our schools, young people, adults going into our schools and shooting and killing people. But you know, that's not because we don't have prayer in our schools. Mm-hmm. Approved the killing of the unborn, resulting in abortions at a rate of over 3,000 per day. And we've going through statistics, and it's this way, to calculate how many unborn children have been killed. All of the wars, all of the people who have died in the wars that we have had in this world, all of them, the people, the children who have died through abortion are more than all of the people who have died in the all of the wars that have been on this planet. There's a war on our unborn children. And they have, more of them have died than those who have died in wars. We have promoted greed, violence, and explicit sexual acts on television 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we talked about that this past weekend. At one time, that could never have been. That the laws that were governed what was shown on television wouldn't have allowed it. We punish good people while blessing evil ones. We approve gay marriage, even though clearly the Bible states that it's a sin, that it's a sinful lifestyle. We don't condemn the people, we condemn the act. Snatched away the basic rights of citizens through health care laws, and make every effort to crush the knowledge of God and the Bible, because we don't want to have in our faces that we are doing wrong. We don't want to be told that we are wrong because we want our way. We don't want God's way anymore, we want our way. For years, we have talked about perilous times and learning to recognize the seasons we are in. While most of the Christian TV ministers continue to prophesy about a beautiful future for everyone, our politicians and government officials continue to lie to the public, even as they abandon the ship by getting on their secret financial lifeboats because they know that America has hit an iceberg and that in the Titanic, our country is sinking fast. For instance, our unemployment rate in America is not 6.3%, as the U.S. Bureau of Labor reports it. It's more like 13.1%. The statistics they report only reflect the number of people who are receiving unemployment benefits. This statistic does not include people who no longer qualify for benefits because they've been unemployed so long that their benefits have expired. And I used to work for the Department of Labor and Industry, so I know that this is true. There are people who are no longer, because they've been on unemployment for so long, they are no longer able to receive benefits. And they don't include those people in the statistics. I've talked to them personally on the telephone. It does not include the people who are on disability or those who are disabled, who have no benefits and cannot work. They are lying to us. Here are some more issues they aren't talking about. One in six Americans are on food stamps. 17% of Americans can't afford food. The median income of America has dropped by 9% since 1999. So no, the current president hasn't changed the downward slope. Most people make far less money now than they did in 1998. 43% of us Americans spend more than we make. Nearly half the country is in debt beyond what they could ever pay off. In 1979, there were 61 American companies with AAA ratings. In 2014, there were only four. What most Americans don't understand is that other nations have already banded together to do business with one another, and they no longer need the US dollar as their currency. That's why gas prices keep soaring higher, the value of the dollar decreases. Therefore, it takes more money to purchase gas, food, and everything else we need or desire. And an example of what's going on in our country has happened before. If we don't know our history, we're doomed to repeat it. When this happened to Germany in 1923, that nation collapsed into poverty beyond belief. When it happened to Great Britain in the 1970s, they collapsed into poverty, crime, riots, protests, etc. That's what has happened in recent years to Greece and many other nations that we see in the news. But the American media does not explain why these people are rioting and protesting in the streets. That's because our media is feeding our normalcy bias. Here was one report from Swiss company called Vision Bancorp. And to quote, as welfare benefits expire, unemployment continues to rise, and persistent budget deficits force American politicians to cut welfare spending for all but the most needy individuals. We will see a dramatic increase in the number of riots and violence in the U.S. On July 1st of 2014, a new law went into effect right here in America. This new law imposed new limits on our personal spending, and I don't know if you recognize it, but on your bank accounts. You can only spend so much a day. Yeah, a lot of people don't know it, but you can only spend so much money a day. And you can check your banks. Ask them how much money you... How much can you withdraw from the ATM each day, and how much do you have to spend on your bills and so, using your debit card? Ask, and you'll find out there is a limit as to how much you can spend. This is the final step every nation took before it collapsed. This law is the signal to every nation on the planet that America's financial run is over. The law will prevent us from making currency exchanges with other nations. It will even prevent us from trying to invest in other currency so as to save our families from destitution. This new law is simply a means to slow down the inevitable collapse and force every American into the coming one world currency. Some of our readers will check with their financial experts to see if what I'm saying is true. By all means, do so. But many financial advisors will dismiss this warning because they have their own commissions, fees, reputations, and companies to maintain for as long as they can. You will not get a straight answer from someone who is trying to save their own skin. That's why it's up to God's leaders to sound the alarm in Zion. What do I mean when I talk about America's collapse? I mean your job would end because your company would fold. Your money would be gone because the banks would be closed. Your debit card would no longer work, and your credit card would be useless. Your savings or retirement would vanish overnight. Your Social Security checks, pension checks, and paychecks would stop. And any money that you had in your bank at the time of the collapse would disappear. Whatever amount of gas you had in your car would be all you would have left. Whatever amount of food was in your home would be all you would have left. There would be riots as people would storm through grocery stores and department stores for food and supplies. There would be no police because they wouldn't have a paycheck either. This is not make-believe. That's exactly what happened when Hurricane Katrina hit Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana back in August of 2005. They had been warned and warned, but the people and the government were stuck in their normalcy bias. In the end, hundreds of people died, and the city of New Orleans was in absolute chaos. Now, maybe you can see why America's government has been quietly preparing a new military to control the population when the collapse hits this country. We've been going down to the Capitol and praying with a senator and one of the representatives there who are Christians. And they wanted the senator who is, he's been trying to get new training, get a new police commissioner in who would train our police how to actually deal with apprehending suspects so that what has been going on, the shooting of people, the killing of people dying while they're in custody into place. But what he's fighting against is the military training that our police have been undergoing. This has been on purpose. This has not been by accident. There is a very deliberate course that has been taking with our police in this nation so that they will be able to control the population, whatever it takes to control the population. Once the economic collapse occurs. They've already been adding on to the prisons. They've been building new prisons to prepare for what's ahead. The only people who seem to be trying to avoid it has been the people of God. And we have to get out of the normalcy bias, those who just can't face the time and season that we're living in. Pastor Chris and Carol, you're scaring me. How could this possibly happen? We're not trying to scare you. We're trying to shake you out of your normalcy bias. This is not a possibility. It is an inevitable outcome unless the church in America turns back to God. Matthew 24, 21 through 22 reads, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." Verses 32 through 33 reads, "Now this lesson from the fig tree, as soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that the end is near, right at the door." So what's the proper response for the Church of God, for the body of Christ here in America? The proper response is 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." We have been so busy pursuing the American dream. We have put our dependence on our jobs. And in this world, we have to turn back to God. We have forgotten what we're here for. We have forgotten why God touched us. When we came to Christ, it wasn't just, and maybe you did. Maybe you just came to Christ so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. But there's more to it than that. That's a baby response. That's an immature response to why God came into your life. God came into your life because there's a purpose for you. There is a plan for you that you are supposed to fulfill. God calls not just individuals, he calls families. He wants to grow you. He wants to cause you to mature. He wants you to understand who he really is and why he touched you. He wants to heal you. He wants to make you a kingdom of God citizen. He wants your family to be citizens of the kingdom of God. And so he needs to be able to teach you what that means. We are more than Americans. We are more than whatever ethnic group, whatever nation that you are from. We are more. We are kingdom of God citizens. And so we cannot live. We cannot even think the way this world thinks. We cannot live the way this world lives. We have to be more than that. As Pastor Chris was talking about, time is an expression of the mercy of God. We have only so much time. Time is limited. So in the time that we have, we need to surrender every part of our lives to God. We need to surrender how we think to God. We need to surrender how we live to God so that we can fulfill his purpose and destiny for our lives in the time that we have. And so, Lord, we pray for each and every one of us, for each and every person who is listening and who watches this video. We pray for each and every family that is touched, every household, every member of the body of Christ. Lord, help us to repent of our ways, of our worldly ways, where there has been a mixture in the way that we think, Lord, that is not like you, in the way that we live as the body of Christ that is not like you. Lord, help us as the body of Christ, Lord, specifically here for America, I pray that you would help us to repent. Lord, bring us to the place where we cannot avoid our sin. Lord, we know that judgment comes to the house of God first. And so there will be even greater judgment because we have only become even harder. We have only become even more self-absorbed. Lord, we have not learned our lesson yet. Those who have been caught in sin continue to sin. They have not repented. They have not sat themselves down. They have not removed themselves to give themselves time to be healed and adjusted and brought back into your way of thinking and living. that is according to your word. So, Lord, we pray. Lord, help us to repent. Help us to see that we are wrong, Lord, where we miss you. Lord, make it clear to us. Make it so clear that we will not be able to avoid it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, help us to repent while we have time before even greater punishment comes, Lord. And that we ask, Lord, we pray, we plead, Lord, that you would help us to repent before even greater punishment comes. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, and as we do so, Lord, Lord, heal our land. Heal us. Heal our land, Lord. Heal us individually. Heal us by family. Heal us by congregations. Lord, heal the body of Christ here in America. Heal us, Lord, as we repent. But it can only be done, body of Christ, as we repent. Help us, Lord, to repent. We need you. We need you. Lord, we admit we need you. Lord, we surrender. We give over. We surrender to you. We let go of pride. We let go of selfishness. Lord, our self-centeredness, our childishness. Lord, we surrender to you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see that we are gatekeepers here, and have allowed the enemy to flood, to come in as a flood. We have not lifted up the standard as we should have here in America. We have failed. We have failed. Lord, help us to admit and to repent. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, I pray. You know, Holy Spirit, you know how to fix a fix that will get us to the place where we are on our knees before you, repenting, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would do so. Member by member, house by house, family by family, house of God by house of God. Lord, you know what's going on, and you know what it will take. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, that as you're dealing with the body of Christ, Lord, that you would give us time to repent. We ask for your mercy in that. But, Lord, we pray, Lord, help us to repent. Do whatever it takes, Lord. Put in the sequence of events that are needed to get the body of Christ to repent of her childishness, of her selfishness, of her immaturity, Lord, so that we recognize that we are not here to live as the world lives or think as they think. We are to be totally other as you are. We are not to live as they live and to reach for the things as they do, Lord, as we seek you first. The things that we need are added, but Lord, we need to be, our focus needs to be on you and your kingdom and in fulfilling your heart's desires, not ours, but in fulfilling your heart's desires. As we fulfill your heart's desires, what we need is added to us. We don't even have to worry about that. But Lord, we have got it backwards. You're here just to be a heavenly Santa Claus, and that's wrong. That is not what you are. Lord God, help us to get our focus back on you and on expanding your kingdom, on expanding the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us, Lord. Person by person, family by family, household by household, church by church, whether it be in the home or in buildings, Lord, help us to repent and turn our hearts back to you.
At Urban Life Family Center, we minister in an informal family atmosphere that includes worship, prayer, sharing, and healing. But it's all done in a style and format that uniquely ministers to people in a personal way. From our Sunday prayer and healing sessions to our home church gatherings, everything we do is designed to equip and prepare you to do the work of the ministry. Until next time, remember, God wants to use you to rebuild, restore, and renew hearts and homes in this community. He wants to do it through your fruitful living.